insight or truth or proclamation or teaching, what help am I to you? If musical instruments, flutes, say, or this is my version, saxophones, aren't played so that each note is distinct and in tune, how will anyone be able to catch the melody and enjoy the music? So we're not going to take a vote as to whether you enjoyed my music, but it's true, isn't it, what Paul has to say about the fact that if we don't speak plainly, if our words aren't distinct enough, in fact, if we're not talking about what we should be talking about, how is anybody ever going to know the story of Jesus? If we don't talk about Jesus clearly and plainly, how is anybody going to ever know about him, about his life, about his death, about his resurrection, about his healing, about his transforming power, unless we, the people who have the story of Jesus, are clear enough about speaking it to other people? Because words that are not about Jesus are not going to change lives. I believe that the name of Jesus is the only name that's been given by which we can be saved, by which the people we care about can be saved. And saved means forgiven, transformed, healed, restored, made new, experiencing life in all its fullness. If we don't speak about Jesus clearly and plainly, then people are not going to understand who Jesus is. Because I believe that everything can be different for every person that I lock eyes with. Do you believe that? I believe it because of Jesus. I believe it because he's changed my life. I believe it because he's changed your life. So I believe that whoever I lock eyes with, if they encounter Jesus, then their lives can be different, can be changed. And I believe that we can convince the world who Jesus is and the impact he can have in their lives and in our world today if we'll speak clearly and plainly about who he is. And I believe all of us can make that difference. Some of you are thinking, I don't know what to say. I haven't got the confidence to speak about it. I believe you can do it. I believe we can all do it. And together, we can do it even more. I've had a lot of privileges in my ministry of 31 years so far. And one of the biggest privileges I had was to go to Hong Kong. I think I might have spoken a little bit about that when I came to see you a few months ago. But I was able to go and spend 3 weeks with Jackie Pullinger in Hong Kong with her ministry there. And if you don't know the story of Jackie Pullinger, it's a staggering story. As a 16-year-old, she got on a ship in I don't know where it was, maybe it was Southampton, and she just said, God, where do you want me to get off? And she got to Hong Kong, and she believed that was where God wanted her to get off. And she started ministering to drug addicts on the streets in Hong Kong. She's now in her 60s, late 60s, I think, now still doing the same thing. And I got to go and spend 3 weeks with her organization, St. Stephen's Society. And they bring drug addicts off the streets, and they bring them into a house where they live. And for 10 days, for nonstop 10 days, they surround them with prayer. They surround them by talking about Jesus. And in my stay there, I saw guys who'd come off the streets on drugs. 10 days, they were clean. And they never wanted to go back. And it was Jesus, talking about Jesus, believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, that saw the miracle happen in those guys' lives. Now, normally when people come off drugs, there's incredible withdrawal and everything, you'll know that. But the name of Jesus transformed these guys' lives. And I slept in the same dormitory as them, which was very, very scary for me. But it was incredible just to see the difference that Jesus made. And I chastised myself when I came back because I felt, you know what, I don't talk about Jesus enough. I don't talk about him enough. And because that was who they encountered on that particular journey, and it transformed their lives. And I think that is what happened to these first followers of Jesus. If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn back to Matthew chapter 28. Thanks for reading it for us, Colin. Thank you. And this is the post-resurrection encounter of Jesus, isn't it? You know, this resurrection's happened. The disciples are all a bit scared about what's going to happen. But then it says in verse 16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. It's a very human reaction, isn't it? I'm sure some of us have had that experience. they worshipped him. So there was something physical happened. The word worship means to fall on your knees, to come towards, to kiss. There's all sorts of reasons why they would do that. But some doubted. These same people who had listened to Jesus and heard Jesus and now saw Jesus, they still doubted. They shifted between positions. They weren't sure. Could it be him? Maybe it wasn't him. They just weren't sure about him. But what's beautiful about this passage is, and I think is really helpful for us, because I'm sure some of us have doubts. Some of us have been through doubts. Some of us still have doubts. We're not quite sure how it all works out. Some doubted, but this is what happened. Then Jesus, in verse 18, then Jesus, what did he do? He came to them. I love the fact that in the midst of their doubts, Jesus came to them. And in coming to them, they gained a fresh confidence and a renewed vision as to what was the task ahead for them. And then in verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples of all nations. Go and tell people about me. Go and talk to people about who I am. Go and take this life-transforming message that has changed your lives and go and tell it to other people. And I'm going to be with you all the way through." See, this was the start of something quite amazing, a new beginning for each of these people as they went from that moment, from that place, to go and tell this incredible story. And that is the greatest commission. It's as simple as that, isn't it? It's as simple as that. Sorry, I'm not very good at this yet. I'm going to get better, but let's keep going. It was as simple as going. As simple as taking the initiative. As simple for those disciples as going away from that place, going to do what God had called them to do. To go, because there's something more. There's people who need to hear this message. Now go, and I want you to go and tell them this particular message. He commissions them to go and share what they know with the people who they're going to bump into in the future. He didn't have to tell them any more than he told them. They just had to take their experience of knowing Jesus and go and tell someone about it. To unlock in somebody else what we know is in there. I don't know about you, but I've met lots of people on my journey who come to that place of that sort of experiencing that wonder of knowing that Jesus is the answer to the thing that they've felt for years. There are people there who have an ache in their heart, but they don't know what that ache is about. There are people there who know there's more to life than this, but they don't quite know where to look. But Jesus provides us with the answer to all of those aches, to all of those uncertainties, to all of those concerns that people have. And Jesus says, "I want you to take me with you and to unearth in people what is already in them." At the last house we lived in Fareham before coming here, it had a vast garden, and I am not a gardener. I'm not a saxophone player. I'm not a singer. I'm not a dancer. You're finding out everything that I'm not, okay? I can't do DIY. I can't do any of that. And I'm not a gardener, but we lived in that place for 13 years, and when we went there, it was a wilderness, an absolute wilderness, a huge garden, and it was a wilderness. Now, I thought, I've got to do something about this, haven't I? You know, it wasn't our house, it belonged to the church, so it belonged to God, really. So I thought, I better look after it on his behalf, you know, because he hadn't done a great job on his own with the garden. All that had happened was it had grown and it was overgrown. So I started the process of trying to recover this garden. And when we left, what a beautiful garden it is now that I was in charge of it rather than God. I had it on my own. But what I found things in that garden that nobody had seen for years. At the back of the garden, I unearthed the patio that had been under 4 foot of rubbish and muck and horrible. I found a path that led all around the garden that nobody had seen before because I unearthed what was already there. You know it'll all grow back, don't you, now, and the weeds will win again. But it was there all the time. It just needed finding. And I believe that in everyone that I see, in everyone that you meet, there's something there that just needs unearthing. There's some desire, there's some hope, there's some expectation that there's more to life, that there's got to be an answer to the situation I find. And you know what? I think our job is just to unearth what's already there, what's lying dormant in people. And Jesus says, go. I want you to go, and I want you to get involved in doing this. I'm rubbish at this clicker. I need somebody else to do this for me. That's it. I want you to go and I want you to unearth what is already there. Now, I'm guessing some of us are feeling inadequate about that. Some of us are not sure about that. But what I believe is when we do something for God, God can do even more. I believe he can do more than any of us can think he can do through us if we just offer what we have back to him. There's a verse in Romans chapter 10. Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you see that first word? Everyone. Everyone. And this morning I want to say, how wide is your everyone? How wide is your everyone? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then Paul says, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach to them unless they're sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are your feet today? Do you like to take your shoes and socks off and show the person next to you how beautiful your feet are today? I certainly wouldn't. Okay. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who go and share this incredible message, this story of Jesus that is embedded in us to uncover in somebody else. How wide is your everyone? Jesus says, I want you to go. If you know the story of Acts, you'll know that when Jesus gives the commission in Acts, he says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But if you read through Acts, they got stuck in Jerusalem for a very long time. They stayed where they were for a very long time. It wasn't until Acts chapter 8, when the persecution started, that they actually then went to Judea and Samaria. See, they didn't go to Judea and Samaria straight away. They stayed in Jerusalem. They stayed where they were. That was the first step of the commission to go, and that's where it started for them. And if you know the early chapters of Acts, you'll know the incredible things that happened. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed the guy who'd been set outside the gate beautiful for many, many years. And in the name of Jesus, he healed them. That they went into the synagogues and proclaimed Jesus. You know, they stayed where they were. They stayed in Jerusalem, and amazing things happened. See, going isn't to China always. It may be, but it's not always to China. Going isn't always to South Africa. Going isn't always to Hawaii. Why hasn't God called me to Hawaii? I don't know. It doesn't seem fair, does it, you know? Sometimes, often, most times, it's to where you are already. That's the commission. See, this word go really means, in the original text, it means as you go. It's not a destination place, it's a decision. As you go, I want you to tell people about Jesus. As you go to work, as you go to the gym. As you go to the shops, as you go to your neighbor's house, as you go to your family, as you go, I want you to tell people about me. As you get into the taxi to come here, as you go, I want you to tell people about Jesus. So don't wait to be called somewhere exotic overseas. Just decide to listen to what Jesus is calling you to. As you go, tell people. Wherever you go, tell people. That's the story behind this. And I've been thrilled to talk to some of you already who have this incredible passion to tell people about Jesus still. And you're desperate to find new ways. You can't do what you used to do, but you can do what you can do. And I coined this phrase, as you get older, get bolder. All right? Not balder. As you get older, get bolder. And kind of encourage you, if you feel that God has, you've done your bit, let me tell you, God hasn't finished with you yet. And maybe the time ahead is even better than the time before. As you go, bring the good news. Then Jesus says, as you go, pass it on. Verses 19 and 20, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Everything I've commanded you, I want you to go and tell somebody else. As you go, pass it on. What has Jesus commanded? He's commanded us to love God. He's commanded us to love one another. He's commanded us to love other people. As you go, pass it on, because this is good news. In fact, it's the best news that any of us could know. Because there was a time when someone told you about Jesus, wasn't there? Was there a time when somebody told you about Jesus? Who was it who told you about Jesus? Just tell someone near you. Who is the person who comes to mind when you think about who told you about Jesus? Tell the person near you who it was. Okay, I'm guessing there's a whole variety of people who told you about Jesus. I vividly remember my Sunday school teacher, leader, called Mae Clark, and a very feisty Scottish woman. I've met a few feisty Scottish people in this place, I have to say, but she was very feisty. But she told me about Jesus, and every week in Sunday school, the consistency and the just the commitment she had, and you could just see it in her life. That she loved Jesus, and I'm sure for some of us, the Sunday school, maybe it's somebody else as well. But there was someone who passed on Jesus to you, wasn't there? There was somebody who was sat on this chair who told you about Jesus. Somebody who spent time with you, who was committed to you, who let you know about Jesus. And they told you about it. And you're grateful for that, aren't you? It changed your life. The thing is about the story of the Christian church is that there's a whole line of chairs that stretches back to Jesus, and every generation told the next generation the story of Jesus. You know, that Jesus told his friends, and his friends told their friends, and their friends told their friends. And so now it's us. And so Mae Clark, my Sunday school teacher, was sat on this chair, and she told me about Jesus. And entrusted it to me, this incredible story about who Jesus is. And there's a history in order to get you to where you are today. Because somebody told Mae Clark about Jesus, and somebody told that person about Jesus. It's an amazing story, isn't it, to think about that there was a day when you heard it, somebody passed it on to you. When you heard about this incredible news about who Jesus was. There was somebody in that chair who passed it on to you. Because none of us came to faith by ourselves. And what if you'd never had the invitation? What if that person hadn't passed it on to you? What if they hadn't told you about Jesus? What if their life hadn't looked a bit more like Jesus? Could you imagine what might have happened then? But that leaves a challenge, doesn't it, really? Leaves a challenge for me, and I hope for you as well, because there's a third chair as well. And there's a chair that's next to you of someone that you have the responsibility to tell about Jesus. Because if we don't pass it on, then it's just going to stop with us. It's never going to go any further. But all of us have been recipients of a line of people who year after year, I've passed on this incredible story. So I wonder who's in your third chair. I wonder who the person is that you have the responsibility to tell about Jesus. Because if it's still empty, it needs filling, doesn't it? If this story is the best story that we know that's changed our lives, then as you go, pass it on. As you go, pass it on. Yeah, what I love about this church, the church we're part of today, is that, you know, we've got an amazing history here, haven't we? I think I've worked it out. 147 years, is that about right? 147-year history this church has of people passing the message on, one life at a time. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today, would we? None of us would be here. And I love the fact that we have a history. Yeah, there are some churches that are just two-chair churches, you know. You may have come across them. There's churches that are just started, and it's fantastic. And I love new churches, but they've just started. And so that they're here, and they've got this chair here to tell. That there's other churches who sadly have stopped. They've got a fantastic history, but they've decided they're not going to change anymore. And the culture has sort of consumed them, really, and they've decided all they're going to do is just hang on. And eventually, of course, when a church hangs on, it just dies. But what I love about our church is that, you know, this is a three-chair church, isn't it? It's a three-chair church. It has a fantastic history. It's got a fantastic present, but I believe it's got an even greater future, don't you? A future of people coming to know Jesus, of more people encountering who he is. And the challenge for us is, you know, as we go, we're going to pass it on. And who's sitting in your third chair? Who's the person who God is whispering to you now to say, you know, that's the person I want you to tell them about Jesus? Isn't it exciting as to who it's going to be? Excited about the stories that we're going to hear of lives transformed because you, me, we've talked to somebody about Jesus, that we've passed it on as we go? Because if it's not me doing it, then who's going to do it? If it's not now, then when are we going to do it? Because if ever the world needs to see Jesus, if ever this community needs to see Jesus, if ever your family, your workplace, your gym, your neighborhood need to see Jesus, it is now. As you go, pass it on. And we can welcome people into this amazing church and help them to grow and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And we can do that together. So please be inviting, won't you? Because the gospel, knowing Jesus, it gets passed on one life at a time. Let me tell you about my church. Let me tell you about my faith. Because there's an empty chair, and maybe you're the one who's going to be filling it. But the good news is, you're not doing this on your own. Because what else did Jesus say in this great commission? He said, as you go, pass it on. But what else did he say? I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age. And this is the best news of all, isn't it? Jesus said, I am with you always. There's never going to be a time when you're on your own. I'm always going to be with you. In John chapter 20, when Jesus met his followers in that room, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, what's he doing? I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because you're not on your own. I'm with you always. It's the power. It's the power to fill us, to enable us, to equip us. You know, our task is not to change other people. Our task is to allow God to change us. And through the presence of his Spirit, when he changes us, then together, it all becomes possible. And all God asks is that we show up and that we play our part, really. That's all he wants us to do, is to play our part. Are you ready for this? He wants us to play our part because he's going to play his part. So I'm going to invite Chris up now, who's going to come, and we're going to play a duet now, you see. Isn't that amazing? Imagine Chris is the Holy Spirit. No, perhaps don't do that.
Use your imaginations.
But you know what? This is going to sound a lot better because I've got someone who plays much better than me, who's much more experienced, much more capable, and gives me confidence to do what I'm doing, okay? So, I'm a bit dry now, Chris. I just need a bit of water, otherwise I'm not going to be able to play even one note today. Always moaning. Okay, are we ready, Chris? After you, then. You see how much better it is when you let the Holy Spirit come alongside you? Do you see what you're going to be able to do when you let the Holy Spirit breathe life into you? Do you see how we're going to be able to tell people about Jesus when that goes on? It's my deep prayer for each of us, for me and for you. Because we're on a mission together, but we're not on our own. It's a co-mission. It's the greatest co-mission. Us hand in hand with God's power at work in us. Should we do that? Should we start this week to love others by telling them about the life-transforming power and presence of Jesus? As you go, pass it on. As you go, pass it on. And let's see what God longs to do. I'm going to ask the musicians to come.